Well, turn over in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 24. That's where we're going to start today, Proverbs chapter 24. And we'll look at verses 10 through 12 from there, but there's some other verses that we're going to be looking at today. This particular section of Proverbs is sometimes referred to as the words to the wise. And God most likely inspired Solomon to write these words based upon sayings that he had been exposed to throughout his life. And these words are indeed wise words to us as Christians. And this passage addresses the subject that the Lord has prompted my heart to preach about this morning. So let's read it together and then we'll get into it. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12. Says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those being taken off to death and save those stumbling towards slaughter. But if you say, but we didn't know about this, won't he who weighs our hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? You know, today, whether you knew it or not, is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And this morning we join with thousands of other churches across America who uphold the sacredness of human life. And, you know, I realize that this is a sensitive topic because of the varying points of view. Because of this, I just want you to know that I don't mean for this sermon to be a political speech. I'm not a politician, thankfully. but the issue of the sanctity of human life is a real thing. And we as Christians need to know how to address it. We need to know what God's Word says. And so, therefore, the message today is simply a sermon about what God's Word says about the precious gift of life. And this morning, I want us to discover the answer to one question, really. What does it mean to be pro-life? What does that mean? What does that look like for us as Christians? Well, the first thing that we need to understand, number one, it means we uphold the sanctity of human life. You know, that word is used a lot in our culture. We hear it a lot in looking at American life. And what does that mean? What does the sanctity of human life mean? Well, you know, very simply put, the sanctity of human life is our belief as Christians, because we're going from a Christian point of view here, we're going from a biblical point of view. The sanctity of human life is our belief that because human beings are made in God's image, that all life is sacred. It's our belief that every life is made in God's image. This means that all human life, from conception until death, should be protected and respected. And the sanctity of human life means that human life is more sacred than the rest of creation. And I think we understand that. You know, because life is so sacred in God's eyes, He's placed a very high value upon it. Consider what Psalm 139 verses 13 and 14 say, and this is a verse that's familiar with a lot of us. And David says, For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. Imagine those words, and think about those words for just a minute. He's praising the Lord because he says, you are the one that knit me together in my mother's womb. You are the one that created me. You have remarkably or wonderfully made me in your image. Your works are wonderful, and I know this fully well. I know this well. If you go back and read in the book of Genesis, we see in Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, that God gave humanity the authority to kill and eat other creatures and plants for food. But in Genesis 9:6, he said that murdering another human being is forbidden with the penalty of death. And so it says, whoever sheds man's blood, His blood will be shed by man, for God made man in his image. In other words, as we read that scripture, we have to understand that God, in God's eyes, life is so sacred that if you purposely take someone else's life, then you are to lose your own life. That is how important the preciousness of life is to our Lord. And so that's what the sanctity of human life means. It's an understanding that God has made us in his image, and that life is to be protected. And that starts with conception all the way through death. Some people say from the womb to the tomb. And that is true. God wants us to uphold human life in that way. So if it means we uphold the sanctity of human life, we've defined what the sanctity of human life is. Well, who does that include? Which groups of people does that include? Well, when you think about the sanctity of human life, we tend to first think about the issue of abortion. And certainly it applies to that issue. And I think we understand that the unborn are the most valuable and are the most vulnerable people among us. And, you know, I'm not going to give you a lot of statistics this morning, but I want to give you a few. When we think about the issue of abortion, we think about the Supreme Court case that was handed down almost 50 years ago now, the court case of Roe versus Wade. Did you know that since that court case was handed down, that almost 50 years ago, that over 62 million lives have been destroyed legally in America? Somebody added it up and found out that if you combine the populations of the states of Georgia, Michigan, Virginia, Nebraska, Nevada, Iowa, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oregon, Kansas, Vermont, Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Alaska, that equals 62 million people. That's 15 states worth of people wiped out in the name of the law, in the name of choice. When you think about it from that standpoint, it's very sobering. But you know, the sanctity of human life should motivate us to combat all forms of evil that are waged against human life. We must care, yes, for the born and the unborn, those who have mental and physical challenges, and things like euthanasia, violence, abuse, oppression, human trafficking, exploitation. These are all kinds of evil that violate the sacredness of human life. And so it's not just an abortion issue, it's all life. Again, from conception until death. And all these things are a violation against the sacredness of life in God's eyes. All of these lives are of value to God. All of these lives are worth fighting for. All of these lives are worth standing up for. Because again, all human beings are made in God's image. All human life from conception until death should be cared for and protected. You know, when I was in college, I worked in a mentally handicapped group home. And let me just say, it was very difficult work. Because some of the people that we dealt with there were very physically challenged. They could basically do nothing for themselves. And if you've ever been involved in work like that, it's hard work. If you've worked in a nursing home or something like that, some kind of health care, a home health, you understand what I'm talking about. It's difficult work. It's challenging. And I know that a lot of people that I work with couldn't care less about the people that they were supposed to be taking care of. And again, it's difficult when you have to change a diaper on an adult. It's not fun. But these people that were in that home had value in God's eyes. Their lives meant something. And so that's what motivated me to care for them in the way that I did. That's what motivated me to understand that these people are precious in God's eyes. And so every life is a value. Every life means something. Every life is precious in God's eyes, from conception until death. And so it includes everyone. The mandate to love people, the mandate to uphold the sanctity of human life, means that we care for everyone that is made in God's image. Number two, it also means that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, one of the best reasons for upholding the sanctity of human life is what Jesus mentioned in Matthew 22, the greatest commandments. We talk about it all the time here at Bogey Hills. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then he said that was the greatest commandment. And then he said the second was like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see in these two commandments that Jesus tells us that our actions are to be motivated by our love for God and our love for other people. They're not to be motivated by politics or because one guy says this or another guy says this. What we believe about human life should be rooted and motivated in our love for God and love for other people. And if it's rooted in anything else but that, you're doing it wrong. And so if we love God, we're going to care for his people. If we see to the needs of those, we will see to the needs of those who are sick and elderly. We will protect others from harm, whether from abortion or human trafficking or any other type of evil. We will fight to care for and provide for people who are vulnerable, single moms who need our help, people who are in desperate need. We fight to help them. And as we think about all that, love is the motivation behind upholding the sanctity of human life. Our love for God and our love for others. That is where our love for life should be rooted. It means we love our neighbors ourselves. It also means, number three, that we offer love and forgiveness to those who need it. We often forget about that part. Guys, let me just say, there are two victims in an abortion, the baby and the mother. We often forget about the pain that women often feel after making this decision. We often forget about men, too, who are possibly part of that decision. And the decision of abortion can leave literal and emotional scars for years. And we as Christians have to point those who have made these choices to Jesus and his forgiveness. Amen? I mean, what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. And so we have to convey to people who have chosen abortion that whether or not they knew it, if they didn't know or they did know it was wrong at the time, we have to point them to the fact that God loves them and desires to forgive them through his son Jesus. We have to help them understand that no sin is too big or horrible for God to forgive. Because he loves and forgives all sin. Or he loves all people and he forgives all sins. And so we have to tell people that Jesus loved them so much that he became one of us to deliver us from our sin problem. We have to tell them that he came to the earth and to be among us, to live among us, so as to identify with us. And he did so without ever sinning, and he did so as understanding that ultimately he would go to the cross and be the only one worthy enough to pay for the penalty that was demanded by God. And here's the thing, guys, and we need to understand this, and we need to point people to this fact, is that once we know that we've been forgiven, we don't have to keep dwelling on that forever. Once we've been forgiven, we've always been forgiven in God's eyes. God doesn't expect us to go through life continuing to punish ourselves for the wrong that we've done. Remember when Jesus encountered the woman at the well? Go back and read that sometime over in John chapter 4. But remember what he told her, Because he identified some areas of her life that weren't right. But he said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He didn't say, let's continue to talk about this, your dirty laundry, and let's keep perpetuating it. No, he said, your sins are forgiven. Go on about your life. Don't worry about it anymore. You've been forgiven. Go and live in peace. And so once we have to convey that to people, we have to convey to them that they don't have to continually beat themselves up for the decisions that they've made. And frankly, that's one thing that I think Christians don't do well when it comes to the issue of abortion or pro-life, is we don't focus enough on helping people who have made these choices to heal as they've made those choices, to point them to Jesus. And we got to do a better job of that. We have to tell people, no matter what you've done, no sin is too great and beyond the reach of God's grace. And, you know, here's the thing for all of our lives, and this goes for every one of us. God has seen us at our worst, right? And yet he still chooses to love us. He still chooses to have a relationship with us. Remember Paul, who we just studied, you know, as we went through the book of Acts together. Think about all the things that he did before he knew Christ. We all know what he did to Christians before becoming a follower of Christ. And what did Paul say? You know, he said, listen, I'm the worst of them. I'm the worst of sinners. But God not only forgave Paul, but used him as a missionary. And so if God can forgive Paul for the things that he did by his own admission, he can forgive us and what we've done in our lives. And listen, accepting God's grace doesn't mean we pretend that we didn't do anything wrong. It means that even though we don't deserve it, we're now fully forgiven. And this is what we have to offer to others who need love and forgiveness. That's an aspect of it that we need to make sure that we are always about when we're caring for people who've gone through difficult times. And so we have to offer love and forgiveness to people who need it. And then also, number four, we need to speak out even when it's unpopular. Remember the verses that we read at the beginning in Proverbs 24? Let's read it again. Verses 10 through 12. It says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those being taken off to death and save those stumbling towards slaughter. But if you say, but we didn't know about this, won't he who weighs hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? As I read those verses, I'm reminded of the thought that people are dying unjustly. Someone is dying unjustly. We see it happening, and what will our response be? What will we do? You know, for some, the issue of abortion and women's choice has become a sacred cow. And, you know, we've all heard the mantra, my body, my choice. We've heard the rhetoric from politicians and all the talking points from the pundits. And we know all this stuff, and I get that. But when we as Christians oppose such things, we tend to be labeled and called all kinds of names because it's not a popular thing in our culture to oppose abortion and be pro-life. It's not. It's not politically correct to mention the sixth commandment, which says, you shall not murder, in conjunction with abortion. But that doesn't mean we can just sit back and do nothing, because it's not very convenient. Listen, guys, let me just say that we have a weapon that unbelievers don't have, and it is prayer. Amen? It is prayer. And guys, it is time that we pray for America. If we only get mad, nothing's going to change. We have to do something about it. We have to pray. We got to pray for our president. We got to pray for leaders of both political parties. And we got to pray for our Supreme Court justices. And we have to proclaim the gospel because, guys, that's what's truly going to change the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to bring our pro-life convictions to the voting booth. We need to support and pray for pro-life pregnancy resource centers and adoption and foster agencies. We need to speak out and speak up in love, even when it's not a popular message. We all pretty familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom, and I tend to think about her in this situation because when Corrie Ten Boom saw the Jews being herded off to the concentration camps, her faith in Christ propelled her to action. And one by one, she hid these individuals that weren't even of her faith. One by one, she hid them in her attic. And eventually, we know that the authorities discovered what she was doing and sent her and her sister to one of those camps. And it was there that her sister died. But Corrie lived to tell the story. When somebody asked her one day why she got involved, she replied very simply, "I had no other choice." It's the right thing to do. Because I'm called to love God and love people. So guys, we have to speak out and speak up when the message is not popular. And that's easier said than done. I get that. We get a lot of flack from people. We get a lot of flack from the media and other people who think that we're one way. The thing that I always tell people when they try to judge my words or my actions, I say, you know what? You don't know my heart. God knows my heart. He's the one that can judge me, not you. Your words are just words. God knows my motivation in what I say. And listen, I know this is a hard sermon with a hard topic. Believe me, it wasn't a fun one to prepare for or preach. But we as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have to learn to do the hard things. A lot of times people take the easy way out. And we have to uphold the truths of the Bible even if we don't personally agree with it or if it's unpopular. You know, I know we all come from different backgrounds and different points of view, and I get that. But when it comes to what God's Word says, we don't have a choice. Either we are going to follow it or not. We don't get to pick and choose like a salad bar. Go to a salad bar, you pick what you want, you put this on there, you put that on there. You better leave those creamy-looking peas off of there because those are nasty. What's that? Yeah, that's my opinion. We don't pick and choose. We have to take God's word for what it is. And God's word, guys, doesn't make any bones about it. God views life in a way that is sacred. And I understand, well, when does life begin? Yada, yada, yada. The arguments that go back and forth. And if we had enough time, we could get into some of that. I get that. People don't, well, I don't believe life begins at conception. Well, then you're probably going against what most scientists would tell you today. You know, Ben and Anna the other day announced that Anna's pregnant. And she's had a little bit of difficulty with her pregnancy. They've had a few scares, you know, so far in the process. And early on when there was some bleeding, I'm not trying to share more than, but I really want to share this. Anna went to the doctor and we thought she probably had a miscarriage. We thought that she had probably lost the baby. And they went to the doctor and they did an ultrasound, and at 7 weeks, They could see that heart beating. 7 weeks, that baby was fine. And the baby continues to be fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that baby is precious. And all the babies that have died through miscarriages are precious in God's eyes. And they're with Him now. All the babies that have been lost to abortion are with the Lord now. So God's word is very clear. Let's uphold the sanctity of human life. Let's love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's love people. Let's offer love and forgiveness to people who don't need it, or people who do need it, I'm sorry. Let's let God love and heal the brokenhearted. Let's speak out and speak up for the sacredness of life, for the unborn, for the marginalized, for the exploited, for the least. And when we do so, we uphold the truth of God's word. Amen? So however the Lord wants to speak to you today through that, I pray that you would respond to Him in faith. Father, we thank You today for Your word. It's very clear. Father, Your word tells us that You have knit us together in our mother's womb, that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made in Your image. And every life is valuable and precious. No matter of intellect or physical nature or race or anything else that we invent up to divide us, every life is of value and important to You. Father, Your word tells us that in heaven, every nation will be represented. Every tongue and tribe and nation will be there in heaven. We'll all be together. Every life, every person is of value to You. And You sent Your Son to die for everyone. And I pray that we would just cling to that and that we would act accordingly, that we wouldn't get caught up in politics, but that we would just proclaim the truth of Your word faithfully and in a loving way, but being very steadfast. So, Father, just have Your way in us right now. We commit our lives to You. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.